The current violence in Haiti is increasing, but for Haitians, life must go on, even in the face of dangerous political protests and past natural disasters. Last month, NewsHour Weekend traveled to Haiti on the 9th anniversary of the 2010 earthquake. And in tonight's signature segment, NewsHour Weekend's Yvette Feliciano profiles Haiti's unique resilience through the experience of a doctor on the front lines of the country's ever-changing social crises and public health needs.
In the last three decades, the news out of Haiti has mostly been about political instability, deadly epidemics, and a devastating earthquake that took 250,000 lives and left 2 million homeless. Yet in that time, the child mortality rate was cut in half. The country's HIV rate went from 6.1% in 1993 to less than 2% today, and overall life expectancy has risen by about 10 years.
Bonjour, messieurs, dames. Bonjour, bonjour.
Much of that success is thanks to the vision of a man who has been on the front lines of every major health and social crisis in the country since the late 1970s, Dr. Jean-William Pape.
Haiti is a country that needs help. And if its sons and daughters don't do it, nobody will do it.
Born and raised in Haiti, he graduated from what is now Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City in 1975, where he remains a professor of medicine. But he works in Haiti, where he returned in 1979. From the beginning, his work involved an immediate crisis. As an internist working at Haiti's State University Hospital, he confronted an infantile diarrhea epidemic.
The mortality was staggering. It was 44%. That is, for every 100 children admitted, 44 would die.
The children were dying of dehydration. To combat it, Dr. Pop developed an oral rehydration mixture, which he taught mothers at the hospital to prepare at home.
It worked so well that our mortality fell to less than 1%. Within 1 hour, that child was dying, was again back to life. So they said, you're doing so well, we have adult patients who present with diarrhea, can you see them? And those turn out to be the first AIDS cases.
To battle Haiti's first AIDS cases, Pop teamed up with his mentor back at Cornell, Dr. Warren Johnson, and Haiti's Ministry of Health to create GESCIO, which is now the second oldest research institution in the world dedicated to the fight against AIDS. The French acronym means the Haitian Group for the Study of Kaposi Sarcoma and Opportunistic Infections, as the term AIDS had not yet been coined.
People were dying within 6 months to a year. So it was scary because nobody knew how it was transmitted, and we knew that we were on something big.
AIDS was so prevalent in Haiti that a myth arose that being Haitian was a risk factor for the disease. But Pop and his team produced groundbreaking studies that helped disprove the widespread notion that Haitians were especially susceptible to AIDS. And early on, Haiti's Ministry of Health closed all commercial blood banking after Pop's team connected blood transfusions in Haiti to infections.
And I think this is the most single important measure we took early on to control the AIDS epidemic.
In the early 2000s, GESCIO began providing life-saving antiretroviral medicine to Haitians for free with support from the Global Fund and the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR. Today, the World Health Organization implements GESCIO's treatment guidelines for HIV in low-resource settings around the globe. But not long after GESCIO's AIDS treatment took off, things literally came crashing down. The 2010 earthquake destroyed or badly damaged half of its buildings. Four staff members died, and nearly everyone lost a loved one.
I must say the earthquake was the toughest blow that we had. And what encouraged me is that the next day, 60% of our staff was here. So I assembled them in a room, and I said, look, we are the first black country to become independent. We've had major calamities before. We overcame them, and we will overcome this one.
Geskio treated more than 3,000 trauma patients immediately after the disaster. It housed an additional 7,000 in a tent city for more than a year. Not a single person died during that time.
We had to do a number of things. Continuing our mission of caring for patients with AIDS, tuberculosis, and conducting the research. But we had people coming with the worst wounds you've ever seen.
In the aftermath of the earthquake and subsequent cholera outbreak, Pop and his team saw opportunities for innovation.
This is a perfect example of how architecture and health work together.
They partnered with local artisans and the U.S.-based nonprofit architecture firm Mass Design Group to rebuild. A state-of-the-art cholera treatment center includes an underground wastewater system. And since tuberculosis thrives where there is poor ventilation, the new TB treatment center forces hot air up and out of the building. As a precaution, staff and patients are still required to wear masks.
Everything has been calculated. The wall is not too high so that the wind can go through, so that you have no chance of getting tuberculosis.
From the start, grants from a vast network of both local and international funders have been essential to the research and treatment Geskio provides. Deputy Director Marie-Marcel Deschamps has been with Dr. Pop since the beginning. She says more than half of the staff are women.
So we are the leaders. It's a holistic approach where you deal with denial, you deal with depression of the people, with their family issues, with their poverty. Name it, we have to find a solution.
Geskio has expanded into social work and education. It houses a primary school that serves 350 children. It also has vocational training and special programs for women who have experienced physical abuse.
I came to Geskio because I was a sex worker and I was being mistreated. Groups of young men would rape and beat us. I found out I was pregnant and came in for a consultation. They taught me woodworking, and now I have a profession.
But the main focus hasn't strayed from Geskio's initial mission to fight and prevent HIV and AIDS in Haiti. More than 30,000 HIV-infected patients at Geskio are on effective treatment. At a daily mother's club, HIV-infected women receive counseling to ensure they don't transmit HIV to their children. And there are workshops teaching people risk factors and symptoms of infectious diseases associated with HIV, such as tuberculosis and human papillomavirus.
I'm proud of the work that I do helping HIV-infected patients because I myself am HIV positive.
All of this comes at no cost to 100,000 patients a year. That's especially important in Haiti, with close to 60% living under the poverty line.
They respect people. I get my medication on time. If I don't come, they call me on my phone.
Pop has received numerous awards, including a Clinton Global Citizen Award and a French Legion of Honor. Yet, despite all of Geskio's success, Pop believes decades of stigma regarding Haiti's history of AIDS and poverty harms the country. And that stigma may soon begin to affect U.S. foreign aid to Haiti. In 2017, when referring to 15,000 new Haitian immigrants to the U.S., President Trump said, quote, they all have AIDS. Early last year, Trump included Haiti in a group of, quote, S-hole countries, questioning why so many Haitians had ever been permitted to enter America. Several months later, the Trump administration announced its plans to rescind the Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, granted to Haiti after the 2010 earthquake. Immigration advocates challenged the decision in 5 pending federal lawsuits. If they lose, close to 60,000 Haitians in the U.S. could face deportation this summer.
It would be very bad because we already have a lot of unemployment. We have, as you know, no army. We have a small police, 15,000 for 11 million people. It would create more chaos. The greatest wealth of Haiti right now is Haitians overseas sending remittance back to the country.
While the future of TPS is in limbo, Pop and his team say they will continue to try to improve the lives of Haiti's most vulnerable populations.
With privilege, you have responsibility. And the greatest responsibility you have is for the poor people. They know we are for them. We are here with them. And we are one.